Psalm 16, 11 verses, powerful, powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Brother Emberdor looks tired. Brother Ray looks tired. Nelson is asleep already. Psalm 16, verse 1, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust." Trust is something we talked about on Sunday. There are, 134 verses. We're not going to read them all. We didn't read this one. This is just another one. Trust is a huge Bible concept, and you should trust in God. Don't trust in me. Do not trust in the county attorney's office. Trust in God. O Lord, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to Thee. Now that is a really interesting verse, because David is speaking, right? The Mitchum of David. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. This psalm is called the Psalm of the Precious Secret. And the secret is Jesus Christ. Not a secret. David understood, and the New Testament writers understood. And I can tell you that this is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you may say, preacher, just make this up, because that sounds good. Jewish people accuse us of making this stuff up because they don't want to say that it points to Jesus Christ, because that would mean Jesus Christ was the Jewish Messiah that they crucified, which is what they did. And that is who he is. He is the Jewish Messiah. They just refuse to recognize that. I say, well, preacher, how can you be so sure in chapter 16 that David is speaking of Jesus? Well, let's look at another Bible preacher who preached a really pretty powerful message. Keep your finger here in Psalm 16. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the preacher's name is Peter. Now, Jewish folks aren't going to take you to Acts chapter 2 because they don't believe in the New Testament. Because if there's a New Testament, that means their testament is the Old Testament. And they don't like that at all. They prefer you call that the Jewish scriptures. this is the Bible. This is God's word. Here's the preacher. Just so you know, Peter is a Jew. And he is preaching to Jewish people. We're in chapter 2. Look at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. How is he approved? By miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Pretty easy what Jesus had done. Say, preacher, what could you do That would be a miracle. I put my shoes away before Mrs. Bishop came home. I made sure the toothpaste was off the counter when she came home. That is as close to a miracle as you're ever going to see me do. But Jesus Christ healed dead people, brought dead people back to life. He healed deaf people that could not hear. He healed blind people. He healed lepers. He healed people that were paralyzed. And they didn't have to go through physical therapy. Think about the impossibility of that. After he got done healing them, they got up and walked. I'm just saying, pretty powerful evidence that he was not just your normal Baptist preacher traveling the countryside, evangelist, Dwight Smith. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, who God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Verse 25. Are you ready for this? For David speaking concerning him. What is he going to reference? He's going to reference Psalm 16. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's a pretty good quote, Psalm 16. What do we have? We have a Jewish preacher quoting the Old Testament scripture and telling you without a shadow of a doubt, then speaking of Jesus. Therefore, thou hast made known to me the way of life, ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance. With thy countenance, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you. I think he's freely speaking already, but go ahead. Of the patriarch David, for he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, also to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of, because people say in the Old Testament, people didn't see Christ raising from the dead, but pretty clearly the Jewish preacher Peter believed that David was preaching about Jesus being resurrected from the dead. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. That's pretty powerful, isn't that? I'll say again, the New Testament church in the first century did not canonize the Word of God. God canonized His Word. Turn with me. Say, well, what is Peter? He's the one that denied Christ, and here we are just a few months later, and we're supposed to follow this guy? Okay. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Let's listen to another preacher. You might know this guy. Kind of obscure life. Paul, the Apostle Paul. Say, we know Paul. Yeah, sure you do. Acts chapter 13, look at verse 35. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, happen to be Psalm 16, if you're keeping track, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid upon his fathers and saw corruption. So Psalm 16 can't be talking about him. But he whom God raised again, Jesus Christ, saw no corruption. Who's preaching that? Paul is. Again, Paul is testifying that David wrote of Jesus Christ, through whom is preached the forgiveness of sins. Christ was seen by David. Christ was seen by Peter. Christ was seen by Paul. I got news for you. In 2026, Christ is still seen in Psalm 16 by the preacher here. Because that's who it is. Go back to Psalm 16, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. What a prayer of faith. The avowal of faith in God alone. The contentment of faith. Verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a godly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Trust. You can trust. Jesus Christ had confidence, and you can have that same confidence. He had confidence. David had confidence in the Lord. David had confidence that God would preserve him. Preserve. And preserved, Jesus Christ had that confidence. Preserve in what manner? Preserve as in to guard. That's a really interesting bit of history if you want to study about the kings. King of England, going back to the 1400s, always had guards, people that watched over him. The current king of England has a guard who just retired. But you can go see him. What is his name? Nobody seems to know what his name is. But he is quite a fixture next to the current king. And God has said of Jesus Christ, the bodyguards surround their monarch, Jesus Christ, surrounded by a host of angels. As shepherd would protect a flock, Jesus Christ will also protect you. Jesus Christ, we know a lot about Christ. We know him as Savior. We know him as Redeemer. We would know him as a kinsman Redeemer. But did you know that one of the oldest titles given to him in the written script of history, Scripture, is from the book of Job? And he is the preserver of men. You don't hear that very often, but that's one of the oldest records of what, it again, put from pen to ink of what Christ is and what he does. Job 7, verse 20, Job says, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? O thou preserver of men. And Job refers to that preserving work. Job trusted that God was going to take care of him, surround him, guard him, preserve him as a shepherd would guard the sheep. And no wonder that Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. And also in Psalm 16, the fact that he is able to preserve himself, raise himself from the dead, he is able to preserve you as a preserver of men as well. And I have that confidence. Again, we'd recognize him as a great mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, but he is a great preserver himself, able to preserve me. And he is worthy of my trust. He often, when we struggle with this, trying to understand God, and Jesus Christ is God. Yep. And so he's praying to the Father, who is God, who is himself. Just try to wrap your brains around God. But just go home this evening, and I don't know, without any tools or any material, try to create a flower. Try to make a cake without flour. You say, well, I need flour. Go make your own. And he created this from nothing. Just pretty amazing. I can trust him. You can trust him. I say with David, I'm a poor, unworthy sinner, but I've been washed in his blood. Blessed, comforted, helped. Someone wrote this in writing about Psalm 16. Poor believers are God's receivers. And I like that. Because you're not going to receive anything of the Lord unless you have a humble heart. If you really listen, I am poor, I am weak, I am miserable, I need God's help. And God says, yeah, that's the guy I'm going to bless right there. As opposed to the guy that says, hey God, I can do this myself. Leave me alone. God said, okay, I'll leave you alone. Prideful believers are not receivers of the blessings of God. It's so important to get in your car and ask for God's help. So important when you have a decision to make to pray for God's help. So important when you have a meeting to bow your head and ask God for help. So important, as the Old Testament guys did it. Nehemiah is before the presence of the king, and he says to the king says to Nehemiah, "Why are you sad being in my presence? That's a death sentence." And what did Nehemiah do before he answered the king? He prayed. He prayed. And we don't pray because we have GPS. We don't pray because we have Alexa. We don't pray because we have Siri. We just ask technology. We don't need God. And don't expect to be a receiver of God's blessings if you're going to be that prideful in your walk. It annoys the children as I'm driving, and the little thing there, the little voice is saying, "Turn left now." And I go straight. And the kids are saying, Why do you even turn the thing on if you're not going to do what it says?" I don't know. I like to hear her say, "Recalculating, recalculating, recalculating." That's so important to pray. Don't trust in technology. Better pray. So today I prayed. Technology was supposed to turn the air conditioning on, and it did. But something happened to the technology. I'm going to guess we had a power outage here, because when we have a power outage, the technology reverts to Monday. And according to the thermostat, it was Monday. Monday, there's nothing going on here. So I walked in tonight and I said, "It's warm." And here's what Bob from Kentucky said, because he got here when I got here. He said, "I thought it was a little warm. I didn't want to say anything." It's warm. What do you do? Had to readjust technology. But long before I trusted in technology, I talked to the Lord about what was going to happen in the service tonight. I trust Him. I don't have a lot of trust in technology. Verse 4, David sounds a warning. "Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god." Oh man, I do not want that to be me. Hastening after another god. "Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot." Idolatry is huge. Idolatry is huge. In the same lips that we bless God, then we worship government. We worship military. We worship technology. We worship style. There's some areas of your life that you don't want God messing with. That's what you're worshiping. God hates all wickedness. But the high crime of idolatry is especially egregious to Him. Don't worship something, someone else besides God. It is offensive. Those who multiply God multiply grief to themselves. Why would you turn to something made of wood or stone that cannot hear, that cannot heal, that cannot help? Doesn't make any sense to me. And many years ago, we were following GPS. We were going on a missions trip to New York City. We had all the teenagers in there, and it was telling me, "Turn right now, turn right now, turn right now, turn left, turn right, turn right, turn right." And I'm thinking, this is not right. We were going to Brooklyn. In front of me was a sign that said, "Welcome to Coney Island." And the little voice in the box said, "You have arrived at your destination." I looked at the box and I said, "I don't know what destination you're going to, but it's not the same one I am." GPS has led me to some really weird places. Mrs. Bishop and I think the GPS lady and I, if we were married, that we would get divorced. It's just almost comical. You ask Mrs. Bishop, she'll tell you. I'll be in the car and I'll say, "Get me directions to Ben's Chili Bowl in Washington, D.C. And the little gal in the box will say, "Getting you directions to Chili in Lancaster, California." California doesn't even sound like D.C. But that's where it's sending me. 3,000 miles for a bowl of chili. It better be good.
God has never led me in a wrong direction. I like the psalmist as he said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. He is ever blessed. And I have been blessed. But people do. They turn to idols. They turn to someone that cannot help them before they turn to the Lord. And just a reminder, in the book of Mark, Jesus Christ was healing, and he, are you listening? He refused to allow the demonic to give testimony as to who he was and what he was doing. He refused that. And it should not surprise you if you are involved in that kind of worship that he will not hear you either. But people do. People will fellowship with the works of darkness and then expect that God is going to hear them. It's not going to happen. So what is the challenge? Walk in the light as he is in the light. Say with David in verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Don't trust in the arm of flesh. The arm of flesh will fail you. And be never wanting there. We sing that song. I can do it. I don't know what you feel like at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I'm tired. When the kids were younger, I was tired. I was younger when the kids were younger. And I needed something downstairs. I was sitting on this side of the room. Mrs. Bishop was sitting on the other side of the room, and the thing was halfway between the two of us. I was tired. I didn't want to move. I didn't feel like getting up and getting it. But I also thought it was wrong to ask Mrs. Bishop to get up and get it and bring it over to me. So I picked up my cell phone and I called the house phone. Caitlin picked up, Bishop Residence, may I help you? I said, hey, this is Dad downstairs. Can you come down here for a minute? And she said, sure, Dad. She comes downstairs. And I said, hey, can you get that for me over there? And she went, sure, Daddy. She was sweet and she loved me back then. And Mrs. Bishop, she gave me one of those, really? Did you just call the house phone and ask your daughter to come downstairs from her bedroom and go over there and get that for you? Yeah. She said, you are pathetic. Guilty. I certainly don't trust in the flesh now. I'm older and I'm more tired. And the kids don't live as close, or else I'd be calling them. So what should we do? Walk in the Spirit. Purge the leaven, the sin from your life. Why? Because the older you get, the more you need God's help. The more you need God's strength. The more you need God's blessing. The idols are not going to bring that to you. But the God that David saw in Psalm 16... that Peter saw, that David saw in Psalm 16, that Paul saw, that Peter saw, that David saw in Psalm 16, is the same God that you serve today. Pastor, what's the weather going to be like? Well, you know, it's going to be terrible rain, storms tonight, all kinds of stuff coming through. Did you not get rain at your house? We didn't get a drop. I told Miss Bishop it was coming. Get prepared. You know what I was? I was wrong. And I've said this. I think sometimes God listens to the weather forecast just to push the storm in another direction so the weather forecaster has to say, I don't know what happened. Because if I were God, that's what I would do. Just for fun. I'm going to be wrong. Meteorologist only has a 50-50 chance. But God is never wrong. Thousands of years later, this is fulfilled. Incredible. And so, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forever, forevermore. And make me want to break out in song. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What do we need at the end of the day? We need strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And remember that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Turn with me to Jude, the very end of the book. Just before the book of Revelation is a 25 verses in the book of Jude. And we're going to read the last two. Let's see what the preacher Jude testifies about the God of Psalm 16. Jude says in verse 24, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. That's what Jude said. Let's see what Paul said as he's writing to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, and this will be the last scripture this evening. Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Do you know what that means? That power is available tonight. May 20th, 2026. Are you weary? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, I thank You for the promises of Your Word. I pray that we would not be enamored by or given to idolatry, but we would turn off the naysayers and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has never been wrong, misled, or mistaken. Always spot on, every single time, 100% accuracy rating. We put our trust in You. And we thank You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.